The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Turning Point USA is taking charge on campuses. We are making America a better country, and the reinforcements are coming. You're going to leave with some hope after this interview. You'll love it. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved with Turning Point USA. That is tpusa.com. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. This is the most conservative high school graduating entering college class of boys in the last 40 years. Something huge is happening. And we saw that poll. And then I'm starting to get reports from our amazing Turning Point USA field team saying, Charlie, we're now seeing this on the ground. We're seeing this when we're recruiting. The response is incredible. Now we have the macro and the micro together. Joining us now is Noah Durham, who is a field rep for the best organization in America. I'm a little biased. Turning Point USA. Noah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Charlie. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. We are seeing it on the ground firsthand. Just in the first week of me being back on campus, recruiting for Turning Point USA chapters across the South, we've connected over 800 freshmen just in my territory to their Turning Point USA chapter at their college and university. Yep. So we're seeing it. We're seeing the hype.
No, and so just so everyone knows, Turning Point USA, we are doing the work on the ground to save America. This is clipboard and tennis shoes type work. While other people are kind of talking and debating past each other in Washington, D.C., and they're writing white papers that people won't read. Look at these images, one after the other, doing the difficult work. Noah, walk us through in detail. This is tough work. This requires grit. This requires hustle, but the payoff is huge. Noah, tell us about it.
Yeah. So, you know, first thing when I get on campus, I just set up a table and start talking about the conservative movement with people. And I've seen time and time again, students come up and say, wait, is this a place that supports free speech? Is this a place that I can go to on campus and make friends that think the way that I do? And yes, absolutely it is. And the movement's growing and the word is spreading around campus. And I'm so excited to see it grow, especially this year.
And so tell us, are you seeing, you know, especially with young men, are you seeing a little bit of a heightened interest more so than previous years?
Yeah. And I absolutely think, I think they're fed up. I think they're pissed off coming out of the public school system at their high school. They're tired of these liberal indoctrination camps that keep weighing them down, and they're not able to express themselves in school freely as much as they are on college campuses. And then they come to college and they say, you know what? Now is the time. I'm sick and tired. I'm joining a Turning Point USA chapter, and I'm going to make a difference on my campus and in my community. And that's also why I'm really excited for our high school department expanding and getting onto even more high school campuses than ever before. So yeah, it's great things all the way around.
Yeah, and so we are the only organization in America, Turning Point USA, that has a full-time staff, nearly 50 to 60 people, just focused on high school chapter development. By the way, as we're talking here, if anyone is interested, go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter. That's 60 full-time people. By comparison, the RNC has zero people doing anything. They're up in Milwaukee doing whatever. But Noah, talk about the grittiness of the work. I mean, your students get, by the administration, they get smeared, they get slandered. You have a generally conservative region, right? Panhandle region. But some of the schools are as liberal as Stalingrad. Tell us about it, Noah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen just honestly, last week we had a number of freshmen come up and they say, hey, I know this is syllabus week, but we just had, you know, a number of classes in, you know, political science department, and they seem to already be pushing these liberal and woke agendas day one with their curriculum. And so they are scared. They're wanting a community to support them, and we can provide that for them on campus and just, you know, creating that space where someone can come together and meet with like-minded students and have that support and be able to report on the professors that are, you know, basically creating these indoctrination camps in their classrooms is a great resource for them. And they're very appreciative of it. And yeah.
You guys want hope that are watching at home. Look at these images. One after we got hundreds, we got thousands of these on campuses across America. When we first started Turning Point USA, I was told can't happen. Young people are liberal. This work is already getting done. That is a lie. A lot of those groups are low energy. They're out of the way now. They're old. They're outdated. We are on the front lines doing the work. I'm so proud. Noah, tell the audience your story. You started as a chapter leader, which is the Navy SEALs of the conservative movement. Tell us about it, Noah.
Yes, sir. I was actually, I think I was a junior or senior at Auburn University. And, you know, I'd followed Turning Point USA since the beginning on social media and everything. And honestly, I saw how the college Republicans on campus were all just kind of lame, not really doing much, didn't have much interaction and all. And I was like, let's start a Turning Point USA chapter. So I just went on the website and looked up all the information, how to get it started, and kicked it off from that point on. And, you know, I had, you know, probably 10 to 12 members until I left the school, just regular members at the chapter meetings and everything. We still had a great time. But now I get to work with that same chapter that has
that is amazing.
400 members.
Wow.
Yeah, 400 members at their chapter. It's grown significantly. They actually just had their first meeting last night, their first chapter meeting of the semester, and over 50 freshmen attended their chapter alone.
And we must understand, there's some kids that are afraid. These are kids that are outspoken, right? Because there's a silent majority too, right? Now, talk about that. I bet, you know, because we do this thing called tabling at Turning Point USA, which is our bread and butter, because unlike these other groups that just sit around on their hands and do nothing, we're not afraid, you know, to sweat. We're not afraid to wake up early. Tabling is the backbone at Turning Point USA. So, Noah, but tell me, I bet there's people that come up all the time. I hear these stories. Again, this is coast to coast, from Buffalo to Arizona State, UCLA. We got thousands of these images. Noah, you hear from people, and they whisper and they say, I'm with you. I'm with you. Talk about the whisper, Noah. Yeah. It's a big thing. Tell us about it.
No, absolutely. And I'll take it a step further. Yes, students whisper, but we also have a number of college professors that come by the table and they say, hey, I'm with you. You know, they kind of walk up, look around, make sure none of their coworkers are watching. But that's the same kind of thing. There is this silent majority that's still kind of, you know, waiting in the balance. I feel like COVID helped a lot of people come, you know, out of the closet.
Yes.
as a conservative, but we still have to push more and more to encourage more of these professors and students to come out of the closet and express their conservative values openly and proudly.
Openly and proudly. And so if anyone across the country want to start a Turning Point USA chapter, go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. We are also hiring, right? And the louder we get, the better. I was told repeatedly by the Republican conservative oligarchs, this can't be done on campus, a waste of time. We have proven them wrong over 11 years. When we first started 11 years ago, the millennial generation was supposed to be the most progressive generation, just from a worldview perspective. Now millennials are about 50-50, almost within 50-50, and Gen Z is trending amazingly. Noah, are you seeing that Gen Z, have you seen something change for the positive, even more enthusiasm and more energy as we close this out, Noah?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, over 800 freshmen connected to their chapters just in week one.
That's amazing. Week one. That's just one region, by the way, everybody. We got tons of these. This is just one place. Keep going. That's just college.
For sure. Yeah. Week one. And we're seeing it too. the excitement when we're tabling. Students are running across the concourse to our table the second that they see our signs, the second they see the Turning Point USA logo. And they're like, okay, now's the time. I've seen you on social media. It's time to get involved. I want to make a difference here.
TPUSA.com. Noah, tell people what happens when they sign up to start a chapter. They hear from you or one of our reps, and we get them going. No excuses. By the way, adults, get your kids involved. If you're students, TPUSA.com. Noah, tell us about it really quick.
Yeah, get involved. Sign up on the Get Involved form on the website. Your Turning Point USA representative will reach out to you and get you plugged in with your chapter. It's start a chapter today. It's great.
Start a chapter. It's TPUSA.com. Noah, you're doing great work. So proud. We have best staff in the movement. And it really is special to see over 11 years. I'm telling you, Gen Z is going to shock the world. They know it. That's why they attack Turning Point USA so much. We're the most attacked organization in America. Noah, God bless you. Can't wait to see you. Maybe at a campus stop, UCF. I'm not sure if that's your territory or not, but
I'll be there.
All right. We'll see you there. All right. Thanks, Noah. God bless.
Thank you.
That's TPUSA.com, front lines. That should be your white pill, everybody. Oh, Charlie, things are terrible. Stop it. Go to work. Oh, you know the country. No, stop it. Get out of the way. If that's the kind of complaining you're going to do, I got no patience for you. Seriously. I get these emails. Charlie, it's a waste of time and all this. I don't have the luxury to believe such garbage. Do something about it. Reinforcements are coming. Gen Z is ascendant, bottom up. Yeah, your leaders at the, you know, people from DC, they are awful. I get it. Do something about it. That's what Turning Point USA is all about. Next generation, young, energy, grassroots. That's the type of muscle that is going to make a difference for generations. TPUSA.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. TPUSA.com. Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. The best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com. It's so funny. The New York Times tried to check. We're going to talk about the New York Times this segment, a couple things. But I read the New York Times, so you don't have to. Is this? Yeah, this is from today. They didn't catch the headline change in time for the print edition. To improve democracy, get rid of elections. We got it. Ryan, don't lose this because they're going to try to memory hole this. I have the actual physical copy in front of me. To improve democracy, get rid of elections. Did you just see the kind of Yale-educated, Xanax-addicted, Chardonnay-sipping wine mom in Greenwich, Connecticut, who's sitting on her porch? Oh, what a great idea. I love that. So smart. Ridiculous. To improve democracy, get rid of elections. There was no outrage. No backlash whatsoever. That I saw. First, let me get through this New York Times article that was published this morning by Tressie McMillan Cottom. She says, sorority rush is a tradition at many colleges. But in the South, rush inspires the same passionate zeal as collegiate football. Thanks to TikTok, the University of Alabama's incarnation of that tradition. Peak neo-antebellum white Southern culture on display is now a global phenomenon. Since it entered the zeitgeist in 2021, millions of people have followed Bama Rush as if they're royal, watching through mason jar tinted glasses. They say global neo-antebellum culture. The entire world is acting like it was acting before the Civil War. Is it really that controversial to say that all lives matter? That's considered to be hate speech on some campuses. So you have young ladies that take Rush very, very seriously. And by the way, the South, they take it very seriously. Sorority more than fraternities. In fact, there were some articles where they say they hire coaches to get into a sorority. That's a little much. But this now necessitates an article in the New York Times? So a sorority girl posting videos of being pretty and happy is now what they consider to be whiteness. Whiteness. And it goes on to say that, again, let me reread this line. It's so shocking. Peak neo-antebellum white Southern culture on display. So she's basically saying that if you rush and do a TikTok video about it at the University of Alabama, you are a moral equivalent of slave owners back in the 1840s. Is she trying to imply that it's a hate crime for white college girls to make TikTok videos where they are smiling and they're not ugly and miserable and deferential to quote-unquote their racial betters? How did this pass the New York Times approval board for opinion? Like who at the New York Times saw this and said, you know, this is really deep, Tressie McMillan Cottom? I think we know the answer to that. You pair that with the New York Times article, "To Improve Democracy, Get Rid of Elections," and many others, you really wonder, what does the New York Times opinion page become? That is a question we are going to explain or explore in our next segment. As always, you can email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. When you subscribe to our podcast, we deeply appreciate it. And you can hear all of our episodes on demand. There's a lot happening this week. Tonight is the Republican debate. We're going to be having a fun live reaction to that, so make plans for that. We're also going to be watching the Donald Trump-Tucker Carlson interview. And you can follow along by subscribing to our podcast. Donald Trump is supposed to surrender to Fulton County tomorrow. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining us now is Professor Alan Dershowitz. Professor, thank you for taking time. I want to encourage people to get your book, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. And honestly, since Donald Trump has come on the scene, people that otherwise were rational have lost their mind. Professor, help me understand how Lawrence Tribe, in good faith, could write an article in The Atlantic saying that Donald Trump should not be allowed on the ballot based on just not a conviction, but just being accused. Professor, help me understand.
Not even being accused. There's no formal accusation process. Tribe and Judge Luttek are in favor of really ending democracy, saying that a Secretary of State or a governor from a Democratic state can simply say, I think that Donald Trump committed insurrection, rebellion, etc., and therefore I'm taking him off the ballot. And they call it self-enforcing. Can you imagine how dumb they think the framers of the 14th Amendment Seriously. Were? That they would allow democracy to end right after fighting the Civil War without even providing a process. There's no process. You want to impeach somebody, you got to get two-thirds of the vote in the Senate. If you want to get a president disabled, 25th Amendment, you got to go through hoops and changes and procedures. But no, Tribe and Luttig say that if you want to prevent the leading candidate who's trying to unseat the incumbent president, all you need is secretaries of state from the opposing party to snap their finger and say, whoops, revolt, insurrection, insubordination. It's going to be used against Biden as well.
Of course.
People are going to come in and say, you know, Biden engaged in treason. He kept the borders open. He gave comfort to the enemy. That's all you need under the 14th Amendment, giving comfort to the enemy. Obviously, the 14th Amendment, which includes references to slavery and enslaved people, it includes references to financial aspects of the Civil War, was designed to be applicable to people who fought in the Civil War. You don't need a process for that. They were parading around in Confederate uniforms and proudly establishing clubs, veterans of the Confederacy, daughters of the Confederacy, mothers of the Confederacy. You didn't need a process if you applied the 14th Amendment to people who fought in the process in the Confederacy. But now they want to flash forward 150, 60, 70 years and say, whoops, this was an alternative to impeachment. And remember, too, people forget that. The 14th Amendment doesn't talk about candidates. It doesn't mention running for office. It says shall not be a president or a senator. In other words, you can use that while the president is sitting as an alternative to impeachment. It is such a bizarre interpretation. If Luttig or Tribe were in any of my classes, I would suggest to them that they drop out of law school. They're not really have the mind or the emotion to be lawyers, and they should go to either divinity school or public relations school, or maybe become political scientists and advocate rewriting the Constitution. But these are not constitutional scholars. These are constitutional advocates who first come to their conclusions, and then they distort the Constitution to come out their way. Tribe's been doing this for 50 years or more that I've known him. I argued in front of Luttig on the bench. He was not a particularly good judge, I think. But he became famous because he was a conservative judge, Federalist Society. And now, of course, the Get Trump group includes many Republicans, many people from the Federalist Society. Their goal is the same, get Trump. And they don't care about distorting the Constitution, ending democracy. It's just a very great danger, much more dangerous, by the way, than these criminal cases that are going on today in Georgia. Those are dangerous enough. But this idea of denying me the right to vote against Trump for the third time and denying you the right to vote for Trump for the third time, that endangers democracy. That turns us into a banana republic.
Without even a conviction. I mean, the conviction, I think, is a super reach. But as you say, it's just a hunch, a vibe, a feel. And I mean, this is not just some sort of random tweet, Professor, that we're having you on. This is Lawrence Tribe, an American legal scholar and university professor from Harvard University. I mean, obviously a colleague, someone you know very well. You're going to have to help me and the audience understand how the psychology of somebody who's not – he's not a stupid person, obviously. He's wicked smart. But no. How could he get to this and then publish it in The Atlantic?
Because he doesn't care about anything but get Trump. Remember that the day Trump was elected, before he was even sworn in, Tribe began to impeach him, said we have to impeach him. Tribe does not believe in democracy. He believes in results. He believes he wants it his way. And if democracy doesn't work, forget about it. If the Constitution doesn't work, ignore it. He is not a constitutional scholar. He's a constitutional gigolo. He's a man who will do anything in order to help the Democrats remain in power, to help Biden remain in power. He used to do it because he wanted to be on the Supreme Court. He's too old for that now, but he's become even more zealous and even more unthinking and even more unbalanced in his approaches to this. The idea that you can remove a man who is the leading candidate from the ballot in some states, if the Secretary of State wants to, but not in other states. Imagine what this will do to this election. It will make it an impossible election, and it would turn 2020 into what would look like a perfect election. I really worry for the 2024 election, because if we're not allowed to vote, What are the alternatives to democracy? Does it mean, you know, people going out on the streets? I think we want to turn people to the voting booth and have them decide. That's what the Constitution is all about, the right to make decisions under the law, not to distort the law.
And you detail this in your book, Get Trump. I encourage the audience to look at it. Professor, I said yesterday that this is an attempt by other means to cancel elections as we know it. Is that an overstatement? Is that hyperbole?
It would have been a few weeks ago. Today, when you have the New York Times essentially editorializing against elections and saying, you know, it would be better to have people picked by random rather than have elections. I mean, these are the people today writing for the New York Times. You know, I have a new book coming out in a few months called The New McCarthyism, and the subtitle is The New McCarthyism of the Left is Even More Dangerous Than the Old McCarthyism. Why? Because the new McCarthyism involves young people who are going to be our future leaders, the future editors of the New York Times, the future owners of CNN, the future people in Congress. McCarthyism was old people who were, their careers were at an end. But I'm so worried that this new McCarthyism, which does not believe in democracy, is going to become the new Americanism. And we have to battle it. We have to fight it. We have to be opposed to it, all by lawful and appropriate means. The marketplace of ideas has to stay open. You know, the same people that don't want democracy don't want free speech.
That's exactly
They don't want
right.
due process.
Yes.
They are fascists of the left. And we have to make sure to use that term and to make them understand that they are Stalinists and they are not Democrats. They are not liberals. They like to call themselves liberals. I hate when people on the hard left call themselves liberals. I'm a liberal. I've been a liberal for 70 years. I'm about to hit my 85th birthday. So the time I was 15, I was a liberal. A liberal is tolerant. A liberal accepts different points of view. A liberal wants voting. I have more in common with true conservatives than I do with these crazies on the hard left, these woke nutcases.
For both of us, free speech is a value. We think it enriches and deepens society. And so I want to, I mean, you mentioned this, Professor. I have it here, and I'm not going to let go of it because they changed the headline, but they didn't change it in time.
They did,
before it went to print. So I have the original. I'm going to save this because they're going to improve democracy.
Send it to me. Please send it to me. I want to circulate it to everybody. I want to write articles about it. Send me the original headline because I went, after I heard what you said, I went to the New York Times website. Sure enough, they had censored themselves because they knew that they would be open to this kind of criticism.
No, that's right. So I have the original, to improve democracy, get rid of elections. Professor, that's the same day the tribe thing comes out. And then you have the New York Times also publish the same thing that tribe did, almost as if like they coordinated this, saying Donald Trump should not be allowed on the ballot. David French also put it forward. And it's, I'm getting the sense here that elections seem to just kind of be an annoyance to this very, very far left, not liberals, very far left. For the party of democracy,
elitists,
that's
and they're
strange.
Very,
yes.
And they're elitists. They want secretaries of state. They want apparatchiks, functionaries, to decide who our next president should be. That is so elitist, so anti-democratic. They're afraid of democracy. They're afraid they're going to lose on the merits. They're afraid of due process. They're afraid of free speech. And we want to take shortcuts. They want to say, we know better. We know better. Tribe and Lutik should tell us who will be the next president, not the voters. So please send me a copy of that headline. I want to make sure that all Americans and all readers of the New York Times are aware of what the New York Times is selling, what poison to democracy they're selling.
So I have to ask, you know, Professor, you have kind of been excommunicated from high liberal society circles, but you still know atmospherically how they feel. Do you really think that this is going to be popular in the Martha's Vineyard crowd, getting rid of elections? Is that really?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Martha's Vineyard crowd wants to get together and have Larry David and his wife, former wife, Lori David, decide who the president should be, then pour a lot of money into it, and then have that president selected from a Martha's Vineyard caucus. They don't want folks like you voting. They're so elitist. They don't want them even on their island. And so, yes, it would be very popular with the Martha's Vineyard Chilmark crowd, not with the real people on Martha's Vineyard, but with the Chilmark crowd, the Hollywood crowd, the people that think they know better than anyone else. And Americans just should not accept that.
Yeah, the Martha's Vineyard Politburo wants to get rid of the elections. So, Professor,
well, it's cool.
Yeah, please.
No, it's they used to call them Menemsheviks because the people live in Menemshe, and now they call it the People's Republic of Chilmark. So even they joke about that they are in fact Stalinists and Maoists and have nothing but contempt for the people. They love humanity. They just hate the people.
If the Democrat Party was full of liberals like Professor Dershowitz, our country would be in a much better place. Generally, how you think these next couple of months will play out with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, it's so hard today to make accurate predictions because it's so complicated. I think Donald Trump will get the nomination. He will run. There will be some efforts to get him off the ballot. It will complicate things. But in the end, the courts will say, no, the Secretary of State can't take him off the ballot under the 14th Amendment. I think he'll be convicted in a number of places, particularly New York and D.C., where the jury pool is so heavily against Trump. But these convictions will likely be reversed on appeal. But the goal of the Get Trump people is convict him before the election. And don't worry that the convictions are reversed after the election, because it will be too late.
Do you think there's a chance that the United States Supreme Court can overturn the Fulton County case?
I do. And I think there are two ways of doing it. Rudy Giuliani probably can't take advantage of this law, but the former head of the White House, Mark Meadows, can. He was a federal employee. So he can try to move the case to the federal court. And then there would be a quick route up to the Supreme Court. The question is, can they find issues that will get to the Supreme Court before the election, or will these issues only get to the Supreme Court after the election? The Get Trump posse wants to get these convictions before the election.
So, Professor, if you look at trying to build a proper defense for President Trump and the people in his orbit, you have said that the New York case is one of the sloppiest written in your whole career.
Right.
Now that you've had a chance to mull over and look at the Fulton County case, which is very wide-ranging and reaching, do you feel that the Fulton County case, in a normal world, a non-political world, is equally as weak of a case?
Not equally, but very weak.
Okay.
Very, very weak. 19 co-defendants, RICO, and they're trying to bring it to trial within 6 months. Never in the history of the world has a trial this complex been brought to trial. Oh, sure, in the Soviet Union, they bring it to trial in one day, and they put the guy the bullet in the head the next day, or in China. But in the United States, the right to a speedy trial doesn't belong to the government. It belongs only to the defendant. The government has an obligation to provide enough time for the defense to actually prepare for its case.
So then the President Trump can push back and say, no, I don't want the trial in January. I don't want the trial in February. I mean, how does that work then? I mean, the judge has to be the final decision maker. But
no, not the final decision.
Oh,
not
really?
The final decision.
Okay.
If the judge were to say, I want this trial early, that could be mandamus. It can be appealed.
Wow.
Certainly the D.C. case will be appealed. Remember, these law professors, Republican law professors, Federalist Society people, filed an amicus brief with the D.C. court saying they want the case to be tried January 2nd. That's 4 months and 3 weeks after a complicated multi-count indictment. Unthinkable, unheard of. Let me tell you what I would do if I were a lawyer and I were representing one of these defendants. I go before the court and say, Your Honor, asking me to try a case in 4 months in 3 weeks is like asking a brain surgeon to perform life-threatening surgery in 2 hours after being told to do so without doing the preparation. I will not sully the law by defending this man because I can't defend him in 4 months and 3 weeks. I need at least 8-9 months to prepare. I have to interview every witness. I have to make sure we have the right veneer. I have to make sure that we do the proper polling for jurors. I have to file every conceivable Brady and other motion. That's my job. It's like a doctor doing x-rays and CAT scans and MRIs. Don't tell me how to do my job. And don't tell me that I have to try this case in 4 months and 3 weeks. That's unconstitutional, unprofessional, and unethical.
And that the chances of that being heard and then acted upon, I mean, based on current federal—
I think they're very high.
Okay.
I think they're very high. If the judge were to order this case to trial within 4 months and 3 weeks, or the case in Georgia within 6 months, I think an appellate court would say, absolutely not. You got to give them more time. There's no law that permits that kind of rush to injustice. And that's what this would be, a rush to injustice.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, the brain surgery analogy is perfect. You don't even know the proper dimensions of every count. These are incredibly sophisticated charges. So I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Professor, we're out of time. Check out the book, Get Trump. And Professor, you have to promise to come back on for a full hour with your new book, The New McCarthyism. I think that's so interesting. And I share your concern that there's a new generation of revolutionaries that are going to be running our institutions. And it really concerns me. Thank you so much, Professor.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.